Welcome to the Special Needs Kids Are People Too podcast with Amy Bodkin, EDS. Amy is an autistic adult who also happens to be a school psychologist turned special needs consultant and public speaker. She's also a homeschooling mom to two autistic kiddos, a yoga instructor, a card-carrying Trekkie, and an all-around fun person. And last but not least, Amy is an advocate for seeing every child as a person, not a diagnosis. Because a special needs kid is just like any other child, just more so. Here's Amy Bodkin.
Hi, I'm Amy Bodkin, and welcome to another special episode of Special Needs Kids Are People Too. Today, I am joined by Whitney Witten from Sensational Moms. She's an occupational therapist. And Whitney, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody kind of what you do?
Hey, Amy, I'm so glad to be here. So I work with homeschool moms and moms who just feel touched out and talked out. I help moms get to a place of connection and freedom in motherhood by understanding their own unique nervous system. I coach moms and I consult, and I also have workshops for moms.
I definitely feel touched out and talked out, so I can totally relate.
Yes, I think we can all check those boxes at one point or another. That is just part of the job description of motherhood.
It is. It does seem that way. So today we are going to talk about interoception because this is a favorite topic of yours.
Yes.
It's extremely relevant to moms that are feeling touched out, talked out, and all of the other things. I'm having a lot of those moments myself. So go ahead. Let's go ahead and tell everybody what interoception is in case they don't know.
Yes, so interoception is the eighth sense, believe it or not. Newsflash, there aren't just five. There are two more, which some of you might already know about. And a new one, I guess you could say, that is starting to be talked about more often because of its relationship to our ability to understand and respond to our emotional world. So interoception is our ability to notice what's going on in our body, to connect it with the emotion word, and then to be able to act in response to those realities.
I know that one's one I have a lot of trouble with.
The last step?
No, the first step.
Oh, the first step. Yes, yes.
So noticing what's going on in your body because
I'm noticing
so distracted by all of the things, especially like as a mom, because, you know, there's all the things that are happening with the kids, mm-hmm. the things that need to be done, the people going, I need this, I need that. And you're like, I don't even know if I'm still standing upright.
Right. I actually will never forget the first time that I walked by a mirror and did a double take. And it wasn't because I looked exhausted from having four kids in 5.5 years. It was because I really forgot that I had a body. I know that sounds like a far stretch, but I've
not
just
necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. Especially for those of us who need to strengthen our interoceptive awareness, which I have always been needing a little bit of help in that department, but motherhood has a tendency to really show our areas where we need to grow. So that really shine a spotlight on my need to build interoceptive awareness for myself.
I can remember the first time it really started to sink in was I was taking some yoga classes and they were talking about how your mind tends to lead everything. And I was like, wait, what do you mean? I have a body? Because I really thought I was just this like moving brain.
Yes. Yes. And you are not alone in that experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be stressful to think about mindfulness. I know. So yeah. We'll talk a little bit about, you know, what are things that we can do to build our interoceptive awareness. But when you throw out the mindfulness word, oftentimes there's two different reactions. Some people don't want to touch it with, you know, a 9-foot pole. Yeah. And then other people can be intimidated by it because it tends to be really abstract, which can be hard for some of us to wrap our minds around. And the attention piece too, to hold our mind and our attention in those moments. So we can talk about some ways to start in more concrete manners to before we try to draw our attention to our internal experience. Because while interoception does include mainly our sense of our internal world, most things aren't that black and white, right? So we're going to throw a little wrench in there. Touch is one of those things. There's a special kind of touch sensor that kind of crosses both of those categories. And it tends to be the light touch sense. All that to say, you can start understanding using the language of interoception in more concrete ways and then bridge that gap and move more internally.
So I'm thinking, so the other day I'd had a conversation with another person who's got some of the same health issues I have, where your heart rate will go up kind of quickly. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about trying to control that and how I said that meditation really helped me, that if I use meditation, then I can drop my heart rate in about 30 beats per minute within a minute.
You must have been practicing a long time, Amy. Have you been doing this for a while?
Probably 5 years now. So
okay, yes.
While. Not
that
like,
is amazing.
Yeah, well, she was like, I wish I could do that. And so I was like, you know, I'm actually really not that good at it. I started out with the kids' meditations, with the visualizations, because that's where I was at.
Yeah.
So now I can do it without a visual, although I still sometimes prefer a visual. But like, you know, the little kids' ones where they go, you know, imagine yourself as a snowflake. You're floating through the air. It's windy and feels cold, but you don't care. You're just dancing on the air. You know,
that's
that kind
lovely. Yeah. Or I did one a couple of weeks ago where we were a leaf floating down the brook.
Yes.
And that was really nice. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's lots of ways to ease into directing our attention to our internal reality. And also, I think sometimes the word feeling can be a put off with interoception, because so many of us struggle with the idea of the emotional world. So when we hear feeling, even though we're actually talking about the actual sensation, we kind of go straight to the emotion piece. And that's really not where we need to start. So my own introduction to interoception in my personal life was for my children. Right? It's easier to see needs in other people than it is to see needs in ourselves.
Absolutely.
So I started working with that piece with my daughter. We started with general self-regulation, and I really was not making progress with her in that. I was getting a lot of resistance, largely because she could see through me and knew that I needed to work on that myself.
There's that.
Yeah. But then noticing the body sensations to start with, that is really where the self-regulation piece has to start, is noticing those sensations before we go straight to pulling, you know, the emojis out and saying, which one are you?
That's a challenge. And I've noticed this, especially like with conversations with my daughter, because we're both autistic. She will be talking with other people and they'll be talking about empathy. And she's like, I always thought I was empathic, but maybe I'm not, because I don't experience it the way they're talking about. But then finding like an article on neuroplastic talking about emotions and how there are different feelings that are more important for autistics, things like justice or truthfulness and things like that, that we don't
authenticity.
Yeah.
That's one of those, I think.
That we don't normally think about in the neurotypical world anyways as being feelings, or they're not talked about that way most of the time. And so I kind of like what you're saying here about starting with what we're noticing that's more concrete rather than trying to name it.
Right. And in fact, sometimes even skipping the naming to start with can be helpful. So if we're getting hung up on not knowing what to label this emotion as, let's just identify the body sensation, and then let's figure out an action to go to. And then we can backpedal, and then we can figure out what that emotion piece might be trying to tell you, because it can really be a roadblock for some people.
This always happens when. So if we pay attention to when it happens, and it always happens following certain types of events that might clue us into what it is that's causing the issue.
Yes. So looking for patterns is really helpful too.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Looking for those patterns. And they are usually there. And especially, you know, thinking back about us as moms, you know, if we're still cycling, there's going to be monthly patterns as well. And figuring out how to leave space for that. And instead of being reactive, so we, you know, self-compassion is kind of a buzzword, but to really put, you know, an action plan in place. Okay, well, what does that actually look like?
And that's really hard for moms, I think, to give self-compassion.
Yes, 1,000%. So I, in a day-to-day basis, looking for those moments to be mindful to the thing you're actually doing can be helpful. And actually, Amy, I was listening to your podcast back in December. Mm-hmm. And you talked about a dishwashing meditation.
Yes.
And I wanted to bring that up here because that is perfect. So one of the ways that you can experiment, you could call them interoception awareness experiments in a way. So if we're talking about starting externally and then working internally, you can practice. A great place to start is with your hands. And so washing dishes and being mindful in that moment, using specific adjectives if we can, you know, what does the water feel like? What does it smell like? Could you even maybe put some different scents in the water with essential oils and see what the differences are, and then notice how it's making you feel? Even if it's just matter, you know, sometimes the word feel, again, we can kind of get hung up on that. You could say, I wonder what, or what do I notice, right?
Yes. What do I notice? I like that one especially, because I think the thing that I find the most restful is that I'm giving my brain a break, because my brain's constantly going. Like, it, some people call it a monkey brain. My monkeys, like, they're crazy. They aren't in a jar or anything. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
And so when I'm doing a dishwashing meditation or some other kind of meditation, the great thing is I'm getting to pay attention with my senses without having to solve any problems, mm-hmm. without having to figure anything out. And if I'm focusing on my senses enough, then I'm not thinking about anything else.
You're just experiencing in the moment.
Yeah. And then I'm like, wow, I didn't realize how hard I was working.
Yeah. So I think that noticing is really a huge red flag of concern for a lot of moms, no matter the nervous system we had when we entered motherhood. Some right. of us have a harder time than others, but there's almost this glorification or expectation that as moms, we put our needs last. And that can even be matters of, you know, not going to the bathroom when we feel like we need to go to the bathroom. And before we know it, like, you could even be struggling with recurrent UTIs because you just aren't listening to your body, or you're not eating when you're hungry.
Yes.
You know, or you're not moving. Yeah.
With your kids, because you're too tired and you didn't take a break because you didn't feel like you could, but then you're grouchy with your kids. And is that what you wanted to be? No.
Right. It's like this martyrdom of motherhood is kind of, it's the norm, but it's not, it's common, but it shouldn't be the norm, right?
Yes. It's kind of like we don't place enough value on moms in some ways. And that's not even just everybody else. That's ourselves too. Because
yes.
if we really valued ourselves, we would give ourselves a bathroom break, and we would make sure we fed ourselves on time and did everything for ourselves that we do for other people.
Right. And some of that kind of comes, it's in some ways a cultural experience, but also mm-hmm. if we come from a compliance background and we're told that there's a time to do this and there's not a time to do this, and you have these expectations placed on us, we kind of continue in that, you know, behavior response model more than we realize.
I think you're right. And I think that for a lot of us, we grew up in more of a compliance type model. It's been a fairly common part of our culture, especially in the United States, for a while now. But what I never realized earlier until just recent years is that when we work from a compliance model, we're really kind of shutting down our opportunities to learn to self-advocate, which turns out is important.
Yes.
I mean, not that
And,
you can't, like, you still have to comply with society. It's not like you can just, you know.
but you know what I don't have to do? I don't have to tell myself that I'm going to finish this page before I get up and go get a snack. Like, no,
Exactly.
I can just go ahead and get up and get my snack. Why does my mind go to this sort of, well, before you can do that, you need to do this? I mean, almost like we're rewarding ourselves with basic human needs and not realizing that we're doing that.
Well, and quite honestly, I think some of us learned that just by being in schools, because it's very common to have a reward system in place at school. It's also very common, well, and in the therapy world too, it's also common to reward children with edibles, small toys, things like that.
Right, right. Instead of just acknowledging that it's a human need to want to do this thing. So let's do this. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we come by it honest.
Yeah. So if we stop ignoring those basic body signals, because that is part of interoception. So when you think of emotion, we usually think of the feeling words, right? You know, happy, sad, angry, frustrated, you know, those words. But emotions also include homeostatic emotions. We don't usually think of those as emotions, but because it's information that's sent to our brain from our body, we're going to put that in the emotion category. So that's why I'm lumping in with this, like going to the bathroom,
give some
eating.
Examples. Which ones do you think are the more the homeostatic ones? So just in case everybody's not familiar.
Yeah. So homeostatic just means maintaining that baseline for your body. So that would mean, you know, basic bodily functions. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to get something to drink. I'm going to eat. I'm going to maintain my body temperature. So grab a jacket, a blanket, or, you know, change clothes, that sort of thing.
Being comfortable.
Exactly. Yeah. And because our nervous system has two highest functions, which would be maintaining your personal safety, which looks different ways and in ways that sometimes we wish our brain didn't perceive safety. It's safety as well as maintaining balance. So those homeostatic emotions are maintaining that balance.
Yes,
yeah
balance has become a big one for me. We all have a tendency to, like, it's easy to get out of balance. I like to think of balance as being like a pendulum swinging, and you're trying to, like, stay in that middle, but in order to stay in the middle, you kind of have to swing the other way, and then you have to swing back the other way, and you're constantly, like, adjusting.
Right. But really intentionally checking in with yourself.
Yeah.
That's another practical thing we can do with technology. You know, set a reminder on your smartwatch, on your smartphone, on your smart speaker, whatever it is, you know, to intentionally check in with yourself. And that might mean going to a quiet place. That might mean locking the door to the bathroom, whatever it is, going to the car sometimes.
Well, and sometimes it's difficult when we've got kids that have high needs. But I remember when my kids were small, they could not be left by themselves. But there were still times where I needed a break, or I really needed to take care of something for me. And one of the things we did was we rigged up a video camera in the upper corner of their room. And we made that room safe so that I could, like, watch them on the camera. And then I could go to another room and take care of what I really needed to take care of in that moment without putting them at risk.
And turn down the volume, right?
Exactly. The volume went down. Sometimes if it's a really bad day, then the volume was down and I'm watching them to make sure they're safe. But I'm in the closet listening to music and trying to, like, breathe.
Find your sense of self. Yeah. So many words have self in them, self-compassion, self-advocacy, but really our sense of self, and at the most basic level, comes from interoception.
Sometimes raising a child with additional needs can be rather lonely. We can feel like we're the only one who is experiencing life the way that we are, and feel lost that we don't know what to do next. My membership group provides families with the opportunity to build relationships with other families just like them so that they don't feel alone, so that their kids are able to make friends with other kids who get them. This is something that I help families navigate by walking through this process with them every week. It's like having a concierge school psychologist in your back pocket. But it's not just about the ongoing support, the free yearly testing, the weekly online meetings for kids and for parents. It's about leaving a legacy for your kids and your grandchildren. Check it out at amybodkin.com/product/special-needs-membership.
Well, and as moms, it's very easy for us to lose our sense of self because, I mean, some of these tiny humans that we have created haven't realized that we're not the same person yet.
Right.
They really are in some ways still attached in some ways.
Right. So. They often need us to co-regulate. Mm-hmm. And so we've heard this word before sometimes, and then we get stuck in this cycle of guilt. Well, I know that my children feed off of me and I set the tone of the household, but I don't know where to start, or I feel like a chaotic mess, you know, and there's a lot of guilt and shame that can come wrapped up in that. But moms will often tell me, if only I could feel this coming, and they'll talk about an outburst or, you know, yeah. If it were a child, we would call it a tantrum or a meltdown, right?
Sometimes adults still have meltdowns.
Yes, yes. So moms will often say, well, if I could just see it coming, then I could do something about it. Yeah. But the not seeing it coming comes from our weak interoception.
Right, right.
So that is really where our center needs to be when we're thinking about keeping our calm, keeping our connection, being able to be in the moment with our kids, is being able to find that sense of self.
And I think some of it is that you have to put the time into checking in with yourself. And a lot of times we skip that because other things seem more important at the time. And we
right.
don't recognize just how important checking in with our own selves is.
So we can either put the time in the check-in or we can put the time in with the recovery.
Yes.
Because I don't know about you, but I'm sure all of us at some point have said something or done something with our child. And that's part of motherhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, to a certain extent, no matter how strong our interoceptive awareness is, that it, we will have those moments. But if we can build the time in and the habit in to check in with ourselves regularly, then yeah. we can avoid some of those moments.
Recovery always takes longer.
Yes.
Actually, I wrote about this in my book recently. We had a moment that has come to live down in our family history as Hurricane Amy, because I had a major meltdown one day. I had too many things coming in at once, and I just couldn't quite, I didn't catch it. And so I'm like getting louder and driving to do all this heavy work to meet this like heavy work need that's in my body. And they're just going, oh my gosh, she's gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was great though, because I've learned to help them through those moments, and they've watched.
I'm so glad. Yeah.
Me too.
Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
But it still takes a lot more time. It's better to do the interception first.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, you know, I know that I started doing this work because I wanted to see growth in my children. And then I realized the growth needed to be me. But now it's almost like an afterthought that my children are starting to grow in these areas, even though I haven't done any of my lovely curricula that I have as an OT, right? You know, I've got 14 years of training and experience to work with kids. And so I know I was so excited to pull all of these tools out to show my kids, and, you know, they couldn't have cared less. But what they do care about is seeing how it's changed how I interact with them on a daily basis.
It's true. It's and true. So, the biggest difference you can make is not in working with a child. It's in working with a parent, because the parent is the one who sets the tone and also just has the biggest influence on that child's life.
Yes, 1,000%. Yes.
So tell us a little bit, Whitney, about what you do right now, like working with parents, how they can find you, all of those kinds of things, because I have a feeling some people are going to want to know.
So I do have a website. Again, I'm with Sensational Moms, and my website is sensationalmoms.com. You can also find me on Instagram by the same name. And so I do put a lot of information out there because I think that a lot of isolation can take its toll on us as moms, especially if you're a homeschooling mom. As much as we like to say that socialization isn't a concern, it is for at least the parents. It can be really isolating, and it can take its toll. So we need to be talking about this more. We need to be talking about on a day-to-day basis how to build these skills, and just to let moms know that they aren't alone, that you're not a bad mom, you're not an angry mom. Where can we grow?
Yeah, pressure out there on moms to do it all, be perfect, basically.
Right. So I am there, and also I coach moms. I coach moms one-on-one, and I do have some openings available currently, and I do consult moms as well. So if they'd like just a more direct action plan instead of being in a coaching relationship, we can do that as well. I love working with moms to understand. Also, just to zoom out a little bit from interoception, I look at the mom's nervous system as a whole. So we look at if there's any sensory sensitivities that mom has, or if there are any needs that she has on a daily basis that aren't being met. How do we feed those needs? So some lifestyle redesign, and figuring out how do we balance our needs alongside the needs of our child, especially if our children has drastically different sensory needs than we have as mom. So
that happens a lot.
Yes. And it can cause, significant relationship rifts. Yes. So I'm very passionate about helping moms who live that reality, because I have lived and am living that reality. And again, we're not alone. So I'm all about trying to build community. And speaking of community, I'm launching a Facebook group coming up. So if anyone wants to check it out, you can just search for Sensational Moms. And it is a private group, but you should be able to find me. And I also have a page as well for Sensational Moms. So I do want moms to feel sensational. I know that we don't always feel it, but I really think that by understanding our unique nervous systems and how that works with our specific children, that we can feel that way. We can feel that success and be able to be connected and flexible, those things that motherhood really demands of us and yet can be so challenging.
Right. Especially if we're feeling more rigid in response to things that are stressing us, but we need that flexibility because the job demands it.
Yes, it absolutely does. It truly does. And so, coming back to interoception a bit from that, there's a close relationship between flexible thinking and interoception, because there's almost an intuitive thought process and a logical thought process. But if we're putting everything through a logical thought process throughout our day and lives, it's exhausting. And we are not really able to develop those patterns. So that intuitive thinking is based on our gut feeling, right? We hear,
but you still have to take the time to check in with your body.
Yes. Well, what is that gut saying? Have you fed that gut lately? But it's just so, it really is everywhere. Once your eyes are opened, you just see it everywhere. Yeah. So I'm so happy to talk about it with you.
That's awesome. Okay. So they can find you at sensationalmoms.com. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, great. We're going to put links to all of those things in the show notes so that you can find Whitney. Whitney, it's been a fantastic conversation, and I personally really enjoyed it because this has always been, I'm great with the flexible thinking. I'm great with finding patterns, but remembering to check in has always been a problem. And so it's a great, you're doing a lot of great things.
And it matters, right? I also have a free resource that's available on my website. If you sign up for the newsletter, it includes, I think it's 25 different strategies for being able to respond in the moment when you're feeling overwhelmed and overstimulated by your kids. What do you do?
Yeah.
So it's a great way to figure out how to get started with that so that you can have some practical strategies to get going.
Everybody needs that list to print out and put on their fridge.
Yes. Or if you're like me, maybe the back of your bathroom door, wherever you go to hide from your children. Don't say you don't have a place, because you need to have a place. If you don't have a place, we need to figure it out.
That's the next thing. Yeah. For a while there, it was my closet. That was my place. But yeah, thanks for joining me. And thanks for taking the time to talk with us about interoception. It's clearly incredibly important for all of us.
Yes.
And for ongoing health too, because if you let your brain run the show and you never check in with your body, then your body's going to really get tired and worn out and not feel very good. And Whitney clearly has a gift for coaching. So if you are feeling like, man, I am dragged down and I really need some help from somebody who can kind of like walk through this with me, Whitney may be the person you want to call.
I would love that. It would be my honor. Thanks, Amy.
You're most welcome. Thanks for joining us, and I will see you guys next time.
We hope you had fun listening to today's episode and gained some new insights into the wonderful variety of people in our world. You can find out more about Amy's advocacy work at amybodkin.com. And remember, special needs kids are people too.